Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 15th, 172nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dolby.
And good morning to you, Brian.
You got like double stripes going.
I do. I got stripes everywhere.
Way to go.
I guess.
And none of them are in an orange jumpsuit, so
guess,
we're okay.
Yeah, I guess I got to find somebody that knows how to dress me right.
Huh? Yeah, no. Swirls are good. Oh, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about attitude.
Ooh,
attitude.
I need a repair of my attitude.
Yeah, well, you know, it's part of all that nonverbal communication stuff. But before we get there, we got our quote coming around the corner, sir.
Oh, do we? Well, I haven't picked one out, so I'm going to do it really let's see. Oh, that one's not very good. Let's see. I improve on misquotation by Cary Grant.
What?
That's what it says. I improve on misquotation.
Cary Grant. Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means, but there it is. There's your quote of the day.
Wow. Another lost day.
The sad thing is you've read it before.
Yeah. I did recognize it. There's not too many Cary Grants in there.
No. Well, I haven't read them all, so.
Okay. Well, we'll give you a little bit of time. Attitude. I would think. There's a really cool poster somewhere. Let your attitude define your altitude.
Isn't that a Zig Ziglar thing?
It might be. Maybe it's his book. I don't know.
Something about aptitude and altitude and attitude. No, your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your altitude. I think that was his quote.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Too many words for me to remember. But thanks. Now we've had three quotes.
Yeah.
How critical is attitude?
Well, it's interesting. What brought this up is I had somebody, a prominent individual in the community recently, talk about not only my attitude, but really she was talking about the attitude of the city. And I realized I'd fallen into the same thing. And that was I had started talking really negatively about the city of Eureka. And pointed out.
At what level? Not the negative level, but at what level are you speaking of the city? The physical, the cultural?
The physical. You know,
okay.
Exactly.
Government.
They
just want to try to get you in a deep puddle real
exactly.
quick. Yeah.
There's okay. all kinds of things to complain about, you know, if you want to look for them. And, you know, it's like anything. If you look for the positive, you'll see the positive. If you look for the negative, you'll see the negative. So, you know, I'm now walking around trying to think of, okay, look how beautiful that is. Look how wonderful that is. Look at these people that live here and how wonderful they are. I remember my wife used to play a game with the kids when they started getting, you know, kind of whiny. She would say, okay, I want you to name 10 positive things about so-and-so. Or 10 things you like about, you know.
Boy, that could keep them going all day long, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes we come back the next day to see how they were doing on their list. But I really started thinking about what are some of the great things about living in Eureka?
KINS, News and KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listening to Destination Radio. If you live here on California's North Coast or on the Curry Coast of Oregon, we're here to help you with things to do and places to see that are not too far from home. If you're visiting our beautiful area, we'll tell you about the events and destinations that will make you want to stay a little longer. What roads to take for spectacular scenery, where to hike in the forests and over the sand dunes, where to ride your bike or paddle a canoe. Coming soon to a radio near you, 790 AM, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dolby. John, the concept of attitude is one that is a double-edged sword. You know, you have real attitude, and even that can be defined a couple of different ways. Attitude that is truly reflective of your emotional state. How's that for real? And then you got the funny one, the goofy ones. And then those who compensate over this and over that for whatever the reason is. So when you're saying attitude more in a business sense, how does that reflect in the business?
Well, it's interesting. I went to a conference recently, and it was a top bank conference for the top banks, and all the banks were invited, but the top CEOs were put on panels, and there were two panel discussions.
More of a bank management.
Correct.
Conference.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so it was, and we took some of our directors, and because of the success of the bank, I was actually asked to be a panelist. So I was in that panel. And
so you brought a crowd with you to applaud at the
exactly,
right time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shills is what they're called.
You have to ask me more questions about that later, because there's some actually pretty funny stuff in that. But, we were talking about attitude. The thing that I realized, every bank had a different business model. And because of that, they had different strengths and weaknesses. But what I noticed about them was that they found the positives in the market they were in, created a business model to take advantage of those positive attributes.
Not the elevator speech, positive attitude, but a full on...
The whole thing, it's taking a look at what are the opportunities in my marketplace because of the positive things here, and then designing my business or my bank around those. And so there was a bank that has branches in Riverside. Well, they have a different clientele base than we do here, and so they have created a business model to take advantage of that clientele base.
Wildly significantly different, or
oh, absolutely.
Are these nuances?
No, wildly different. For instance, there's a bank in Los Angeles that had trouble getting loans out, and so they've designed a bank with a very flat organizational chart to keep their efficiencies down because they can't make it on margin. Other banks that can generate great deal of loans because of the clientele base that they're in. Some that specialize, for instance, a lot of the really high performing banks specialize and do only business, or even further, they'll only do C&I or commercial industrial business. But those are in real urban areas with dense populations where you can specialize. But very few banks have the same model that we do, where we are just a very generic vanilla community bank,
regular guy bank.
Exactly. So we're pretty vanilla. But it was interesting to see how each of them had taken a look at the positive things in their marketplace, and then changed their business model to take advantage of those opportunities.
So were any of these in volatile marketplaces where they would have to change? Because I would think you have everything going in one direction, everybody's pulling the same way, the culture's there, everybody's rah, rah, rah. Whoops. And now you have to go into a whole different area. And was it the Spencer Johnson book, Who Moved My
right,
Cheese?
So, yeah.
All of a sudden now you're whipping 90 degrees in another direction, and everybody's kind of having to restructure themselves.
Well, sure. The entire state of California went through that in 2007. So if a bank is still alive, it has reacted to the movement of its cheese.
Point taken.
As is true of most of our businesses here. Very few businesses that are still here that went through that period of time didn't have to make some adjustments. To the changes and start looking for new markets and new ways to opportunities.
So the attitude part, oftentimes I think the knee-jerk sense is that's a reaction of the culture or to the culture.
And groupthink. I mean, if you sit in a room and pretty soon the negatives start and somebody throws one out, well, I got a better negative.
Yeah, the one-upsman. Yeah.
Exactly. And the next thing, we're all complaining about the same thing because, I could probably walk around any business, any building, any community, any park, and find things that are not so pretty.
It's almost like a contagion going through the organization, going through the community, going through whatever the group is.
You know, last summer, my wife and I and another couple went to Yosemite National Park, and it's just absolutely, you know, most stunning scenery. Yet you can't enjoy it without having, you know, a couple hundred people around you, because everywhere, you know, there's just so many people there. And, you know, so there's, you know, sometimes you see garbage and you see, you know, things that have been trampled over because so many people have gone through them. But it's a beautiful place. And so you get, you know, you can either go there and say, oh, you know, it's too crowded, I didn't like it, or my gosh, did you see, you know, Half Dome from this view?
You didn't try to climb the face without the ropes?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go up Half Dome, no.
Okay, good.
Didn't have that much time.
Yeah, or to drink.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough to drink to get me up there.
I go about 6 inches, I think. As long as I have the wind with me.
Well, you're tall enough. You could probably just reach up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was it was giving me a hard time? Oh, Painting the Eaves yesterday outside. Yeah.
No ladder.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, fine. Groupthink can be dangerous. How do you break that up?
You need somebody who is strong enough to say, hey, look, this is a wonderful thing. Look at these things. What are some of the good things that you see? You know, why is it that, you know, why is it that you live here? Why do you live in Eureka?
KINS, News and Information Times 8:30. We'll answer that one when we come back.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude and his attitude, Mr. Dalby.
And so I asked you before the break a question of, why do you live in the city of Eureka? Why did you choose that?
You know, I bet you for a lot of folks, it's, I mean, this is going to sound goofy. I mean, there's a lot of positives and stuff. Inertia.
I think there's some truth to that.
I think that for I don't know what percentage, because you talk to folks. When was the last time you were in the Bay Area, Oregon, Nevada? Oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 15, 30 years ago.
Bay Area was 2 weeks for me.
Yeah, well, okay. Remember, you're not a native. Yeah, you're not part of this conversation.
That's right. By the way, for those that don't know it, I am a SNOB, which is an acronym for Society of Native Oregon Born. I grew up and I was raised in Eugene, Oregon.
Snob, not to be confused with jerk.
Well, yeah, I've been called that too.
But, you know, I think for a lot of folks, you know, it is. I mean, that's where you grew up. That's what's familiar. That's what's comfortable. You know, and I think, and for me, thankfully that's the case, because then there are people that know what was. And you don't lose the history, and you don't lose the goal. You know, right now with the homeless stuff, there's a core of us, and I don't know how big this core is, and I don't know if it's a decaying core, but, you know, it's a core.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, during the Depression, it wasn't this way. The Great Depression, not the Great Recession. We don't have to accept this. This doesn't have to be what our town is, what our home is. We can do something about it. Now, is there the will? Are the politicals willing to do it? I don't know. You see some of the stuff that's going on with the budgets, and you wonder if they're willing to do anything, let alone do what has to be done to change things. So it's I don't know. And there's a tenacity I think a lot of us have also. But we're not going to give in. We are going to do something. There's the physical elements of it. There's the opportunity part. There's the cool people. There's the neat, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's also kind of the bullheadedness that a lot of us have, too, that keep us here, I think. You know, I had an occasion talked to a buddy whose mom died over in the last little bit. And he said, you know, the community looks so different than when we grew up. Not bad, not good, just different. And he said, but what's really weird is I don't think I know anybody here anymore. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. You know, it's not the kids who just graduated going off to college and making their connections and then staying where they are, doing whatever opportunities present themselves. That's cool. But 80 or 90% leaving? And so what's that about? Is that boredom from hometown? Is that lack of opportunity from hometown? Is that fed up with hometown? You know, all these things aren't specific to our area. Is it just the normal itch to leave? I don't know.
I do think you have a number of factors here. First of all, a lot of the things you're talking about are not unique to Eureka.
No. It's so, just town USA.
So, yeah. For instance, you know, the homeless situation is worse in Eugene than it is here because the encampments are literally in the middle of town. And San Diego is a problem. They have it in Santa Rosa. It's everywhere. So this is not unique. And again, this is
intemperate climate.
And this is a problem. Correct. This is a problem. What is the problem, not the symptom? And so, you know, we've got some issues there, but it's not ununique to or not unique to our community. Leaving town. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, beautiful city. It's a wonderful place. Of all of my high school friends that I'm still in touch with, none of us live in Eugene.
So apparently it's a wonderful place to be from?
My point being is that we all have to...
That sounds like Fresno and Bakersfield.
Yeah. Now, those are ones I don't understand why somebody lives there. But my point being is that, you know... As we are searching, you know, as we're growing up and developing our careers and following opportunities, you know, many times for us to take the specific opportunity that we need, we have to leave the area. My son has had to do that. Now, I'm blessed that my daughter and my son-in-law still live in the area. But, you know, and my son hopes to come back. I mean, that's really his desire.
Well, that's the cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's working.
Do want to come back.
Yeah, so he's working towards coming back. The other thing I'll tell you is I have never, of all the communities I've lived in, and my wife and I moved 13 times in our first 12 years of marriage, and yes, we're still married.
Kind of worked that out, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so we've lived in a lot of different communities, and I got to tell you, the best people in the world are right here in Eureka, California, Humboldt County.
You're not going to include Fortuna or Arcata in that?
You can include Fortuna. Okay. I think they're in Humboldt County last time.
I heard the Humboldt County part added in last minute. I just wanted to be sure that you could still visit each of the branches safely. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking attitude this morning with Mr. Dalby. So, John, being somebody who is in downtown in two of the three communities, we'll set Fortuna aside because that's kind of a new development and it doesn't really play into my thought. What do you see?
You had a thought?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I had 3 minutes to write it down. The downtown areas of Eureka and Arcata, what can they do so that the attitude that the locals have, local business, local residents, is a positive one. And don't see the stuff that we tend to focus on, because it's the exceptional that we always focus on anyway, just as being people.
You know, the first thing we can do is clean up the areas around us. I mean, I know it's the city's responsibility to take care of the sidewalks and the gutters and so forth. But if you've got weeds in front of your building, you need to deal with them. It's not that hard and doesn't take that long. We at the Chamber of Commerce, we put together a campaign to adopt a block. And so, for instance, the bank has adopted two blocks, and we actually...
Can't count to one?
Yeah. But, well, because we use two blocks, really, because of parking and so forth. So, you know, we have somebody come in and, clean these each week, and then we take care of the planters and make sure that everything is clean. And, periodically we even have it all, power washed off to try and keep the sidewalk, around that area clean, and then yet I can look across the street and I can see weeds and the tree plantings and so forth.
The physicalness,
exactly. And so it's just taking pride in your area and making your small little horizon of area that you're working in clean and beautiful.
You mean even like the gutters at home?
Yeah,
at the street,
yeah.
The parks and all that. Yeah, I mean there seems to be an attitude, I think, in a lot of areas, particularly as the economy is as rough as it is, of, well, that's not my job. That's their job.
And we need to be creative in how we can shift some of the, some more shopping areas and, what are people looking for, and start reopening some of these storefronts. There's an attitude about parking. And, I've heard this.
I hope parking becomes a problem again.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
We'll go to a shopping mall and park and walk sometimes a mile to get to a store. And we think parking is easy. Yet if we had to walk three blocks to get to a store, to park on a street or in a lot, then we think that's a long ways away.
It's all relative.
It really is. And so... parking downtown, maybe you're not going to get the spot right in front of the door.
Let me wrap this around for you. Back in the days when Penny's was in downtown, parking on 8th Street to get to 5th Street was no big deal. Circling the block for 15 minutes or blocks to
right.
find a spot was no big deal. Now it's a half a block and we think it's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. That should be a manageable one. Let us get to the point where we have to circle the block to find a parking spot in any town on the North Coast. That's my attitude for the day. Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Yeah, right. That's your attitude. See you tomorrow morning.
Trying to find some positive here.